This evening, let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are so good and loving. I thank you that you have created this world, that you have created us, and that you sent your own Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sins. Father, I pray that you would help us as we dig into this, as we study together, as we draw closer to you. Father, please use this time, use your scripture, and prick our hearts. Teach us, train us, help us, Father, to be more like you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all of you who are watching, and I know that some more people pop on and off as we go. But we are continuing our series in which we are looking at some of our favorite hymns and the lessons that those hymns teach us. And I thought it might be good to do a couple of hymns tonight. And as I was looking at these two different hymns, I kind of saw a way that they work together. And so I thought, you know, let's talk about them together a little bit. And it might not seem totally apparent at first how these two mesh together, but maybe you'll see it as we go through. So our first hymn is number 23 in our songbook that we use, and that is the classic Church of Christ hymn, Our God, He is Alive. Or maybe you know it as, There is a God, He is Alive. And you know, that is a hymn that is beloved by many. It was written by a man who was a member of the Church of Christ, I do believe. And so it's often a hymn and a song that we love to sing. You know, it's one that I find very encouraging. By the way, I want to let you know that I do try to put links to these songs in the description of the video. So for both the hymns I mentioned, there's a link. And then on Sunday morning, I've been trying to put a link to a whole playlist. I know some people really miss the singing, as I do, so that's there for your edification. But this hymn, Our God, He is Alive, is one that really just speaks of the wonder of our God and His power, His might throughout creation, and then praising Him for that. And that really is kind of our theme tonight. It's praising God for what He has done. And we're going to start out with this hymn, and then we're going to move into another great hymn that helps us to praise God. So I'm going to read through most of this hymn, and then we're going to look at some scripture together. Before I do that, let me just say hello to some people who jumped on after the prayer, or at least commented after the prayer. I see Cody is watching. Great to see you, Cody. Marianne Van Hoos, good to see you. Although every time I see your profile picture, I think that's Ashley on there. Debbie, good to see you. Nancy Smith, Lisa Forty, great to see all of you. Let me read some words from this hymn, Our God, He is Alive. There is, beyond the azure blue, a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue, and framed the worlds with His great might. Stanza number 2. There was a long, long time ago, a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from His inspired word. Stanza number 3. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though man may search, they cannot find, for God alone doth understand. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Such a beautiful, wonderful hymn. It is one that really encourages me and builds me up. And it's just a great hymn of praise. You know, this hymn, if you read those words and think about it, is really simply a hymn of praising God, acknowledging God, because He is creator of heaven and earth, because He made the skies, He made the heavens, and His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And we are so blessed by the fact that God communicates with us through the prophets, that he speaks to us through his word, that he creates and upholds the universe by the word of his power. All those things are great and beautiful, wonderful reasons to praise God. And if you don't get anything from the lesson tonight, I hope that you will get this. And that is, we have a God who is worthy of our worship. And you don't have to search far in order to see just how awesome and wonderful our God is. There's always a reason to praise him, even in the darkest time, even maybe when we've kind of grown apart from him or whatever it is, there's always a reason to praise God. And one of those reasons, I think, is definitely his creation. The things that he made, and the fact that not only did he create the world, but the Bible tells us he upholds the world by the word of his power. Maybe a good little bit of homework for you later on would be to open up your Bible to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Read through that chapter, Genesis chapter 1, and as you read it, take some time to stop and praise God for the things he created. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise him for that. You know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. You can praise him for the light that he gave us. You know, it's so amazing how oftentimes sunny days and warm days and things like that can just lift up our spirits. They can just make us feel so great and so wonderful. And that's a reason to praise God. So go through Genesis 1. You know, look at each day of creation and praise God for those blessings. But let's read a couple scriptures together. Let's start in John chapter 1. I hope you have a Bible with you as you're watching along. John chapter 1, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. I see that Susan Miranda jumped on here. Good to see you, Susan. And Linda Morsher says, "Even in the midst of the storm, there are blessings. We just need to look for those blessings." And that's very true. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." And so in the very beginning, we get this beautiful description of Jesus Christ, and it tells us here that Jesus Christ, the Word, was there with God in the beginning. He was creating in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Now you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you see over and over again, God spoke, and it came into being. God commanded, and it was there. The Word of God caused things to be created. And here we learn that the Word of God is Jesus Christ, who was involved in creation. And this is confirmed for us in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. It says, "Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." We just read the words from this hymn. "There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard." Here, Hebrews chapter 1 says, "Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." But he goes on to say, "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also created the world." It says he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, Now listen to this. It says, He, that is Jesus Christ, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. See, we have a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything we see, everything we know, out of nothing. You know, so many scientists, so many oftentimes atheists, they try to come up with some type of solution to solve the problem of where did we come from? How did the universe get started? How did the world come into being? How did life start? And the Bible tells us the answer. Life came about by the God who is alive. There is a God. He is alive. He created us. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. And so we have so many wonderful and awesome reasons to praise God because He created all of this. But not only did He create this whole world, the Bible says that He upholds the universe by the word of His power. God upholds the whole thing. God is the one sustaining it. I can't remember the name. This is showing my ignorance and my lack of paying attention in school. But, you know, I think of that, you know, that Greek god who holds the globe and has to hold it up all the time. And sometimes maybe we think about there are other people, other things that are kind of holding up the world or maybe are holding up our world. And we think, well, as long as those people are there, as long as this thing is there, as long as that's functioning the way it's supposed to, I'll be all right. But in all honesty, it is the Lord God who upholds us all. Thank you, Atlas. That makes sense, doesn't it? Atlas, the guy who holds up the globe. But anyway, it is our God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord God who upholds the universe, who upholds the world by His power. And so we praise Him for that. Let me read to you the words of Psalm 8. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3, it says, When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also beasts of the field, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist there, he's praising God once again for his creation, for all the things that he's made. But then he starts to think about himself. And he thinks, my God created all of this. He created the heavens and the earth. He created me. And yet, he's given man some special attention, some special purpose and place in this world. And that's an amazing thing, right? That is a mind-boggling reality that our God, who created the entire world, the entire universe, He cares about you and me. And I think that leads us nicely into the last stanza and also the next hymn we're going to talk about. In Our God, He is Alive, in verse 4, it says, Our God, whose Son upon a tree, a life was willing there to give, that He from sin might set man free, and evermore with Him could live. You see, our God, who created the world, could have been so concerned with running the universe, with making sure everything worked out perfectly, but yet he took the time to create man, to love and care for man, and ultimately to send his son to die for us. And you step back and you think about that and you say, oh my goodness, who am I that God would die for me? Who am I that the God who created heaven and earth and all the universe would come down here in human flesh and give his life for me in my place? That to me is an amazing, amazing thought. So, I want us to talk about another hymn. And that is the hymn, Is It For Me? Is It For Me? And I think this hymn totally encapsulates that idea that we just talked about. This idea that we look around and we say, our God is so amazing, so great, so powerful, so mighty, so holy, and yet he cares for me and he cares for you. And so as I read the words from this hymn, I want you to really think about it in context with what we just talked about. Our God created heaven. He created earth. He holds the germ within his hand. Man tries to understand these things, and we learn and we advance in our scientific knowledge, but at the end of the day, God is the one who has all the answers. God is the one who knows it all, and it's that God who loves us and cares for us. So let me read this hymn to you, and we'll look at another scripture together. It says, Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest, for me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Is it for me, thy welcome, thy gracious enter in, for me, thy come ye blessed, for me so full of sin? O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore? This is a hymn that one of you guys brought to my attention as one that I might want to look at in one of these lessons. And I think it was Doug who mentioned this to me, and he mentioned that the chorus here is just such an outpouring of emotion and adoration and praise to God, and it truly is. And it all comes back to this fact that our great and awesome God, he cared for me. And it leaves the hymn writer asking the question, was it for me, dear Savior, that you supplied glory and rest? Is it for me, so weak and sinful? You know, how could I be so blessed? Is it for me that you would welcome me, that you would graciously say, enter in? And I think about that parable of the talents where to the ones who use their talents, the master says, enter into the joy of your master. You have done well, good and faithful servant. And the hymn writer here says, is that for me? You know, is that something God has given to me? And of course, the answer is, yeah. Our God loved us and blessed us so much that he gave us eternal life. He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us his word. He gave us all of these things because he loved us and because he cared about us. And so the result is we should be singing and praising and saying, O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I do but adore you and magnify you and praise you and love you evermore? Let me read the last two stanzas here. Number three, it says, O Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at thy feet. I bless thee and I love thee, and thee I long to meet. I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore. You know, when I read this hymn and thought about it, I couldn't help but think of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'd invite you to turn there with me and listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. And I think he expresses a similar thing, a similar idea here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed to me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example of those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I just love that passage. And you just, you can feel the emotion, I think, coming from Paul as he's writing. You know, he talks about the Lord has strengthened him, the Lord has appointed him, the Lord has used him. But then he says, even though I was chief of sinners. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul would say, look, I was the one who persecuted the church of God. I was the one who tried to destroy his people. But yet, God had this outpouring of mercy. He demonstrated his perfect patience. He gave me eternal life. And he is the King of Kings. He is the God invisible and immortal. He's the God who alone deserves glory and honor forever and ever. And so our God, he is alive. And our God cared for you and for me so much that he would lay down his life for us upon a tree, upon a cross that he created. He would be nailed to that cross by people he created. He would be mocked and spat upon and ultimately killed and put in a tomb into the earth he created. And he did all of that because he wanted to save those of his creation who at the time were his enemies. But yet God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were enemies, while we were ungodly, he died for us. It tells us in Romans chapter 5. And so we may look at ourselves and we might say, I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve mercy or forgiveness. I don't deserve salvation. And you're right. None of us do. We don't deserve these things. They are gifts from God, but he loved us so much that he was willing to give all of those things for us. And so the lessons that we learn from this hymn, or from these two hymns, really are we have so many reasons to praise God. You could just meditate on an attribute of God and you have reason to praise him. You can think about his creation. You can think about, of course, his salvation. And the result of that should be a heart that longs to adore and magnify and praise him. And so we all sing together, there is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. I hope that you will spend some time this evening praising God. Maybe in song, maybe you sing along to some of these videos that I shared. Maybe you just sing by yourself or with your family. Maybe you spend some time in prayer, specifically praising God for things. If you're like me, so often we pray and we ask for things. You know, God, help me with this. God, do this for me. God, give me this. And maybe we should take a step back sometimes and simply say, you know what, God, tonight I'm just going to praise you. Because you've created, you've loved me, you've cared for me, you've saved me. If you don't know this God, this awesome, wonderful God, I hope and pray that you will do everything within your power to make that situation right. Open up your Bible, start studying, start asking the question, what do I need to do to be saved? We would love to help you with that. If you have questions, if you want to know more, please, please come and talk to us, or I should say, give us a call, send us a message, get in touch with us in some way. We would love to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you and help you in that a little bit more. For those of you who are already Christians, which I know is the majority of those watching, if not all of you, take some time to praise God. As I said, we have so many great reasons to praise Him. Let me read a couple of your comments, and we'll probably end up the lesson tonight. I think I'm a little bit early compared to some of my others, but that's okay. You have more time to praise and worship God. All right, let's see what some of you have been saying. All right. Nancy, amazing. Praise God for His love and His mercy. Amen. Katie, my favorite line is, "My heart is at your feet." I think we should be going to Him and pouring out our heart on a daily basis. If we can't be honest with God, who can we be honest with? And that's a great point. And of course, that also expresses a position of humility. What is man that you are mindful of him? My heart is at your feet. Danielle, without him, we would have nothing to enjoy. It's through him that we are able to enjoy things like sunshine, trees, flowers, and more. Excellent. Very good point. And Lisa, of course, reminds us of the scripture, God desires all people to be saved. And that is definitely true. All right, Cody, what a great time when everything is coming alive in spring. Another example, our God is alive and in control.